Brothers and sisters, we welcome you in God's presence. It's for me a great privilege to be called again here to serve together with you by sharing God's word this morning. I'm very thankful to God that he has given me a very good topic, and I think I was the very first student of this topic. And it actually has helped me a lot, even if it didn't take too much time to prepare. Actually, today we were to be served by another woman greater in ministry than I am, Mama Muteo, but God did not allow her to come here because he gave her something else to do. And I'm very thankful to God that his choice came to me. And this sermon, preparing sermon, was a great blessing in my life. I would like the technicians to help us project. Yes, thank you. Actually, our topic today is chosen to serve. It is a very beautiful topic. And when I was called by the pastor to share about it, it reminded me of an experience I had when I started my job. It was the very first week of my job, right after university. And I came into the office of my boss, Madame Lynn Lucy, the one I used to be working with as a secretary. And I came and I told her the list of problems that I had identified through the week. And her answer was quite embarrassing and very helpful to me. She told me, "Okay, David, please sit down." And I sat. And then she said, "Okay, do you know why I hired you?" I said, "No." And then she said, "I hired you not to tell me how much problems I have, but to help me solution those problems." Amen. And that actually helped me think more and more about my job. And now it's more than 10 years I'm working. Her comment on my work is actually being helpful to date. And this morning, as we go through this sermon, my prayer that each and everyone here might understand that it's part of God's solution in the world. Amen. Please help me say to the person at the left and the right that you are part of God's solution in the world. Let us read from Isaiah chapter 11, chapter 1, verses 11 to 17. Actually, I was tempted to start from verse 10, but because we don't have too much time, let us start from verse 11. He says, "Do you think I want all these sacrifices you keep offering to me? I have had more than enough of the sheep you burn as sacrifices and of the fat you fine animals, of your fine animals. I am tired of the blood of bulls and the sheep of and goats. Who asked you to bring this when you come to worship me? Who asked you to do all this tramping about in my temple? It's useless to bring offerings. I am disgusted with the smell and the incense you burn. I cannot stand your new moon festivals, your Sabbath, and your religious gathering. They are all corrupted by your sins. I hate your new moon festivals and holidays. They are a burden and that I am tired of bearing. 15. When you lift your hands in prayer, I will not look at you. No matter how much you pray, I will not listen, for your hands are covered with blood. Wash yourself clean. Stop the evil that you are doing. Yes, stop the evil that you are doing. and learn to do right. See that the justice is done. Help those who are oppressed. Give orphans their right and defend the widows. Amen. Actually, preparing this sermon was a great blessing to me because it came to help me see my ministry from God's perspective. And I would like us to go through this sermon examining four different points. Number one, we are going to examine, I think the technical part is a little bit behind. We are going to examine four things. One, we are going to go through the context. And when we'll go through the context, we are going to introduce as well the sermon. So beware, the sermon will not be very long. We are going to talk about serving, about the fact that we were chosen by a holy God. And the most important thing in this sermon and this passage, you'll understand that it is the fact that God is holy. We are going to talk again about serving a holy God. And that final, we are going to have two questions that will help us lead through the week that we will have drawn from this sermon. Let us go to a little bit of context. When you read the book of Isaiah, you understand that Isaiah had a very powerful, big picture, beautiful picture of God's holiness. And he called him the Holy One of Israel. And in fact, for Isaiah, he was not only holy. By the time he was called, the angels that were standing near God, because he saw a vision, that's in chapter 6, Isaiah was told that God is holy, holy, holy. And the whole world is full of his glory. So Isaiah had this big picture of God's holiness. I prefer to define the word holy when we'll get into the deep of the sermon. But please keep it that he had a very big picture of God's holiness. Number two, when you read the book, you will understand that God is the ruler of the universe. There were many kings coming to and forth. And actually, he was the one behind deciding who is going to do what. Evil rulers came, but it was not a surprise. He was not a victim of their leadership, but he was above their leadership. Amen. And when you read Isaiah, you'll also understand, even in the verse that we have read, that not only God is far above all kings of the world, but is deep below to care enough for the least and the most vulnerable among us. Amen. When you read the book of Isaiah, you'll understand that Israel has been a sinful people. And in fact, if you read through the very first chapter, you'll just understand that God is complaining. I have punished you enough. You have borne wounds, and wounds that have not been treated, but you still do not change. And God was going to do something else in order to punish, but he was not really willing, really wanting to do that. But because of the sins, the judgment was unavoidable for this community. But when you read the book of Isaiah, you'll still understand that there is still room for redemption. Isaiah, when he got in God's presence, he said, "Hey, I have unclean lips, and I come from an unclean community." And the answer that came immediately from God was that there was some charcoal were taken from the altar and were put on his mouth. That means that that was an image of the cleansing that we receive from Jesus Christ. There is still room for redemption. And finally, in chapter 53, we understand that despite of all the wrong that is still going on around, God's plan for salvation is still happening. Amen. In chapter 53, he says, I will still send my servant Jesus to you. Amen. So let us come back now to the small part of the book that we have just read. I understood it, I divided it into three small parts. Verses 11 to 15, we see that God is complaining. And his complaint is very close to the complaint of Jesus Christ to the Pharisees, that the kind of worship you are giving without cleaning yourself is not pleasing. He's complaining that the sin is corrupting your ministry. You are doing good things, but your sins are corrupting them. And his complaint is actually a complaint that should concern all of us when we look at our ministry. Is our ministry being corrupted somewhere? Number two, we see that God is calling these people to repent their sins. And number three, we see that God is calling them not only to repent, but to learn to do justice. Just a point here is that part of our transformation will come through a learning process. Amen? Okay. I promised you that we are not going to have a very long sermon. Let us talk about the fact that we were chosen by a holy God. When you come back to the story I told when we started, you'll understand that the one who chooses a servant is the one who fixed the rule of evaluation, is the one who fixed the rule of the quality of work that the servant is to give. And in ministry, it is God who fixes the quality. And one standard that God only wants from us is that he wants us to be holy servants. Amen? God wants you to be a holy servant. Can you please tell the person at the right? God wants you to be a holy servant. You know, some of the time we misunderstand holiness because we only link it to repenting, to the repentance of our sin. That is a good understanding, but it is not complete. When you go back into the book of Isaiah and into the the Jewish culture, you will understand that holiness was a word used to summarize the whole of the character of God. You will see that God was handling a very sinful people, but in the chapter 53, you see that he's the one offering his only son to be torn for their forgiveness. He's compassionate, forgiving, he's just, he's perfect, he's great, he's a healing God, a wise God. All of those characteristics that we abide to God, that we with which we have described God one day, when you summarize them, is now when you get the real meaning of holiness. And when you understand holiness in this large version, you'll come to understand that actually being holy, being called a holy servant, is not only a call for a repentance. It goes beyond repentance. It is a call for us to fall in love with God. Amen? When we are called to be holy, we are called to fall in love with God. It is in that interaction, it is in that love adventure between us and God that we are going to receive the small bits of ministry that we are going to give for the day. It is in that love adventure between us and God that we are going to reflect every day a part of God's image. Amen? Please fall in love with God. That is what is going to help you have a ministry with impact. When you see some of the servants of God who have been serving powerfully and have fallen short, you will discover two things that happen after them. Number one, the people with whom they were serving were deeply discouraged and maybe withdrawn from ministry. Number two, the people that were being served will feel like we were being manipulated. And that will bring your ministry, let's say, to nothing. You will have built a great ministry, but you alone would have demolished it. From the Bible, you can get an example from Solomon, who was this great king, and who got God's work of building a temple. David asked God to build a temple for him, but God told David, no, you are not clean enough for it. You have blood on your hands. It's your son who's going to do it. And that son was Solomon. And now when Solomon built it, it was one of his greatest victories. And in fact, it is one of the greatest proofs that Solomon was wise, because on number one, he managed to do God's work prior to his own work. He started by building the temple before building his own palace. So he had his priority set in the right order. It was a proof, one of the proofs of Solomon's wisdom. But later on, Solomon did not abide to this command that he should not marry women who do not worship God, women from other religions or women from other tribes. He did not only marry one, he went to others, and in the long run he had 700 women after him. And when you see his concluding days, you will come to understand that his problem had become stronger than him. The women started influencing him to build temples for other gods. Now, his greatest glory was to build a temple for the great God, and his greatest weakness was to build a temple for other gods. So he himself destroyed the work that he was called to do. So if we have fallen short of God's standards, please come back to God's presence. Come back to your first love with God and rebuild your life before you see your ministry broken down. Amen? It's only when this condition is met that our small, limited, hidden action of ministries will be sealed with God's eternity. Amen. I believe that our ministry in this church today will be one day sealed with God's eternity. We are called to serve a holy God. A holy God. And when we are called to serve a holy God, we should remind ourselves that we are called to meet his objectives. God has a purpose in my life and in the lives of the people he has put in my life. And being his servant, we are called to work for his objectives. We are called to have, in order to remain in the holy word, to have a holistic service to others. The people that are described in the verse that we just read, they were going to New Moon Festival, they were going to Sundays, to those services, they were doing all the regular actions. But God told them, there are still people in your country, in your houses, who need justice. There are still people who need your action in order to see me acting in their lives. So our ministry should be holistic. Amen? God is not only concerned about the spiritual life of the people we serve. He's also concerned about their social, their economic, and all the other aspects of their lives. We are told the story of a pastor who went to pray for one of his members, was very, very sick and in the ICU, the intensive care unit. And then when he went into the ICU, he stood right after her, and he wanted to start speaking to the woman. When he just wanted to start speaking to the woman, he saw the woman turn to her and try to communicate something, but she was not able. And then he thought, no, maybe I should give her a pen and a paper to write. He gave it to her, and she wrote something. Unfortunately, the woman died in his presence. And then he told himself, okay, I should keep this word. Maybe it was her final word, and I will read it when we'll read the sermon of her funeral. And then when the sermon was being read, he described the woman as one who was powerful and a very interesting person to work with and all those things. But he said, okay, I'm going to read you his final words. And then he touched in his pocket, and the word he read was that, you are standing on my oxygen tube. Actually, the pastor was standing on the wrong point. Only concerned about the spiritual aspect of her life, but not seeing that he was also to protect her when she was going through this treatment. When we serve people, we should ask ourselves, what are their other problems? Yesterday, I came here, and on Friday. I came here and I was very surprised with what the youth did. It was very interesting. I just came and I saw over that tent, they had put coffee, and all those youths had come, they were discussing and drinking coffee. Actually, I was not supposed to drink, but I also joined them and I took a cup of coffee and I drank. Actually, it was a very good thing. It was a lesson to me. Despite the preaching, because the service we had on Friday, when you hear from the announcement, is a service of prayer. But beyond prayer, the youth also need to connect and to share. And that was the opportunity that were given on that day. And actually, we commented on the activity, and one of the persons said, even Jesus was using this strategy of evangelism. He was distributing food and then preaching right after. We should not limit the message of God only in the spiritual aspect. God did not create us spiritual only, but we are spiritual, we are everything else that we are. And when you come to serve this person who reflects God's image, we should ask ourselves, what are the other needs that I should meet in order to share God's word, God's heart with this person? We should give a holistic ministry. And when we give it, we will have a ministry that will impact people. Amen. There is a pastor who said that a ministry, a church that is not interested in the social well-being of his people, is one that should be closed. And a ministry that will not come to all those needs, that will not come to bring impact in the lives of the people serving, being served, is a ministry that is close to be useless. Are you only concerned with the spiritual aspect, or do you go beyond? Let us conclude saying this. Have you fallen short of God's standards? Remember that is one thing that will either bring to you the potential to have God's stamp on your work, or it will bring a downfall to your ministry if you do not manage well. If you have fallen short of God's standard, you can be sure that sooner or later your ministry will come to a downfall. But if you are deep in love, and that your ministry is an overflow of your intimacy with God, people will see it and will be impacted by your ministry. How much impact is your ministry having on others? If you want to evaluate your ministry, you should look at others. You should look at other people and see if actually your ministry is having an effect on them. Sometimes the ministry may not have a direct effect, but people can tell you, we are being helped. You are being useful to us. You are being a blessing. And is your ministry having an impact on others? If not, please go back to your first love with God and see if there's something wrong. Correct it, and God will show you the thing you need to learn in order to be a very good servant to him. May God bless his word. Amen.